At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Kremlin and Kremlinology, 20th century term, to figure out who is what and when they stand up on the mausoleum and look down upon the parades. Now, who's wearing a hat? Who's to the left of Khrushchev? Who's to the right of Khrushchev? Is Khrushchev smiling? That was then. This is now, and I welcome Katrina Vandenhoven, the editorial director and the publisher of The Nation magazine, and long an experienced hand at looking at Russia and saying something that is easy to miss because it's right in front of you. Katrina, very good evening to you. This is not Kremlinology. This is press release time. Vladimir Putin, elected for the fifth term, made a speech, his inaugural speech last week, in what I'm told was a gentle snow. Everybody was sighing. It's May, for heaven's sakes.
May, yeah.
Yeah. And then 2 days or 3 days later, Victory Day parade, in which he made another speech, much more confrontational about how he sees the present conflict in Ukraine and throughout Europe. And now news from the Kremlin itself. Shoigu, the defense minister, has been moved to the spot that was Patrushev, the Nikolai Patrushev, who was a national security advisor, spy chief. And Shoigu has moved into that. And we have a new defense minister, Belousov, who is said to be an economist. That's a lot of changes in several days. How do you read this pattern? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. I read this as within the framework of the war and the fallout of the war. You know, this was carefully calibrated in tone to not suggest seismic changes amid the protracted war in Ukraine or to signal the demotion of Shoigu. I think what's most important here is that there's a sense that this war will be protracted, that the economy has been stable, surprisingly able to surmount the sanctions regimes from the United States and other countries. The central banker, a woman named Nayibulina, is someone Putin has asked to stay on. And here you have a sense that an economist, someone who is a minister of economic development, is better able to align the Russian economy with the requirements of war. That's what I read. In addition, Putin's speeches have signaled that the, if you can believe this, Russia has Steve Forbes's tax plan. It's mostly a flat tax system, 13% tax rate. And Putin is now looking, has signaled an increase in the income and corporate taxes to help finance the war. And to do that, to assist those at the lower level of the economic rungs, and to ask more from the wealthy, something what we haven't done that well. But so this has been part of the economic framework. I think many people in the West are surprised Russia has soldiered on, that it hasn't been as devastated by the sanctions. Some of that is it has had a stability fund of about $122 billion for years and has been cautious in deploying it and using it. Oil and gas may vacillate, but that, of course, is key also to keeping Russia aloft. The last thing I'd say is, you know, I think Prigozhin, who we've talked about, John, and the insurrection obviously led to fear in the Kremlin in some ways, and he was head of the Wagner mercenary group. He was touching on a raw populist point that there are people sitting in Moscow and St. Petersburg cafes or Kiev cafes, and that those who are doing the real fighting need a fair break. And I think Putin at the fifth term spoke to the concern of those who are fighting this war, that they be treated like the heroes. Just reporting, I'm not saying that, it just seems to me Putin is anxious about fulfilling a social contract that helped him in the first years of his presidency to meet pensions, to meet the needs of people who have not been treated well by this war.
You remind me of a conversation with the late Steve Cohen, your husband and my good friend. Early on, and it stretches back to his first term, there was a protest by pensioners. You recall this?
Yes, absolutely.
And they were in the streets, and Steve said to me clearly one night, "This is what can bring Putin down. Not any of the rest of it, but the pensioners saying, you're starving us. That
No, that is real. I respect protest, peaceful protest, but the student protests or the opposition protests in the streets of Moscow, St. Petersburg are very different than the pensioners, the teachers, the doctors, or for that matter, during the Yeltsin years, most explicitly seeing the railroad workers cut off railroads for transport. So there's real concern, I think, about making sure that this war doesn't interfere as it can and could and probably is, but that it doesn't look like it's a war fought by those who have been left out, whose lives have been disrupted. There are mothers who are seeking not an end to the war as much as fairness in how their sons are deployed. There's a lot of money that's been pumped in to ease the pain of mobilization, a pain that Ukraine is also feeling. And I think that Putin sees how little is possible in the next months in terms of any resolution to this protracted, cruel war. And so the economics become more important. And I think this man, Belousov, is someone he's worked with, who's been on the scene. He's not unknown. And Shoigu heads out to a very respected spot. What happens to the security head, Patrushev, who is head of the Security Council, not clear. And does the Security Council become a dumping ground, or does it continue to have power? There's also the concern about corruption. As I mentioned, Shoigu's deputy was arrested for corruption, I think, last month. And there's corruption everywhere, and you've seen it in Ukraine and in Russia. When you get these weapons floating around unaccountable for, it's very dangerous.
Sentimentally, I recall within these last weeks, everything for the front. That's a 1943 claim.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
for the front. And that does describe the Russian economy right now. It's heavy, heavy defense industry. Heavy, heavy.
Well, I mean, you know, the weapons money that was passed in the Congress a week or so ago, President Biden has boasted, as have others like McConnell, the speaker, that 80% of it will stay in this country because it's being treated as a jobs program to boost manufacturing. And I think whenever you have a war, the economics of it are very dangerous and tricky. I mean, President Johnson, who is remembered by many for the great society reforms, his presidency was ravaged by another war in Southeast Asia.
And so your measure is Belousov's appointment is to seek a balance between guns and butter.
Well, he's made a name for himself as a proponent of squeezing funds from the state's top earners, mining and metallurgy giants, to increase government reserves. I think he's a statist in the sense that Putin came in, and it's hard to remember, but as a creature of Berezovsky, the oligarch, but turned on the oligarchs quickly, seeking their support of the state. He saw the looting that had happened under Yeltsin. Of course, Putin's created his own oligarchs, but there is a belief in the importance of the state, especially as war can ravage it. So I think there's a sense of that that is playing a big role.
Katrina, final question about Putin, his inaugural and then the speech on Victory Day. He looked vigorous and committed. Is that what? Did you hear it that way?
Well, I mean, he's going to look pumped up for his inauguration. I mean, this appointment and what has happened in terms of the shifting assignments shows there's concern.
Yeah.
And there's different peace conferences. The Vatican had something. There's one that's going to happen in Switzerland, I think, in a week or two, to which, of course, Russia's not invited. Where do these negotiations go if they're happening? I think he's war weary or peace conference weary because it's been so many steps and turns. He doesn't see it now, and he knows there's a very complicated election underway in our country.
Katrina Vedenhova, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.